Well, good morning, church. All right. As we are beginning our worship service this morning, we'll praise the Lord in a little bit of song, if you will. Or if I think you'll know this one, 217 in our Baptist hymnal. But, oh, how I love Jesus. Think you might know that one? But sing along with me, if you would. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds as music in mine ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see your faces, your vehicles. I recognize your faces, but I don't recognize some of your vehicles, so you must be driving somebody else's car today. But it is good to have you in this drive-in service. We'll be doing this again next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Not 11, but 10. Also, week after that, 2 weeks from today, we're prayerfully going to open the church. You can go inside. You'll be spaced out like we're required to be. As far as distance, if you choose not to come in and you want to come outside and stay just like you are today, we'll have the speakers here and you can listen to it outside, just ever how you're comfortable. But we're going to open the church up in 2 weeks from today and begin our services inside. Also, we will not have a service tonight, so the pastor won't be preaching tonight on Facebook. So just remember that. Also, we'll have a devotional this coming week, and I'll be doing tomorrow night's devotional. So pray for me. There's many other needs in our community, our folks, our church family. Continue to remember Brother Paul. He's gotten along so well, and we're thankful for that. And sometimes we presume upon, well, I'm going to have surgery, but I'll be all right. but sometimes it don't work out that way. But we're thankful it has for Brother Paul. He's doing well, and just continue that he'll be able to improve. And he says he just himself social distancing till he gets sure he's okay, and he didn't pick up anything up there at the hospital at UVA. But it's good to see you this morning. We're thankful you're here, and we're thankful the Lord has given us another day and another week to look forward to. We know that our nation is still going through turmoil, big arguments in different cities and different states about whether we should open or shouldn't open. Some states are still having new cases, but that's probably going to be true for a while. So if you're coming and you don't feel comfortable being around someone that might be compromised with their health or breathing or whatever, just wear a mask. Don't put the pressure on them, but put it on yourself. So if you choose to wear a mask, that's fine, but we're not requiring a mask inside the church. But so with that said, let's go to the Lord in prayer and just thank him for this day and for you being here and us being able to have the freedom to do this. I watched the thing last night on China. And if you lived in China, you marched to a different drum totally. So I'm just thankful we're in America. And we have the freedoms we do. So don't take them for granted, because they could be taken away anytime. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank him for this day in the service. Father God, we just come thanking you, Lord, you've given us this day, this time to serve you and to sing praises to you and hear your word. And Lord, we need to look like you, not just here at church, but every day we walk. We are nothing without you, but with you, you tell us we can do all things if it's in your will through your strength. And we thank you for that. We thank you for our petitions that we bring to you many times, and then we don't go back and thank you for the answer you gave us. Well, sometimes we don't like the answer, but when we do like it, we forget to tell you, Father, and we're sorry. We just ask you to be with us during this service today. We thank you for Brother Gary coming in and leading the singing, and we thank you for Brother Frank, who's doing the monitoring today of the Facebook and all the dials to turn up and down. We're thankful, Lord, for our deacons, our church family, those that support you through the tithes and offerings, support this church. You don't need the money, Lord. You have everything that exists. You tell us the cattle on 1,000 hills is yours, not ours. But we just thank you for hearing our prayers again, for loving us, and we ask you to be with our pastor as he comes and stands and preaches. And Lord, we just thank you for this day and this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, I forgot something. I'm sorry. Pray that the preacher don't get a sunburn today. So that may be determined whether he preaches an hour or an hour and a half.
There could be showers of blessing.
How about that? Well, we've had a lot of rain showers lately, but we're going to sing about something that we want to fall down on us rapidly and in great amounts and all, showers of blessing. So that's 467 in our Baptist hymnal. Shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Got one I'd like to attempt to do for you, but we'll see kind of how it goes. I get a little winded. I'm not hardly as good as the preacher at this kind of thing, so but he's had more practice, so that's the reason he's got more wind. Anyway. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Y'all bear with me a minute. The wind's not cooperating. I shouldn't have been talking about the preacher being windy. We got her. I got it. I ought to let him come on up here, though. He'll do it again. Well, let's do this. Let's rush through this one more time. How's that? Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I'm yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea will call out through the rain, calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I'm yours.
Can you hear me?
How about that?
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? Maybe not. They hearing us in Tennessee right now. All right. That's good right there. Back that one up. Maybe move that one down here. This morning we're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 8. That's good. Perfect. Deuteronomy chapter 8 this morning. It is good to see all of you. So thankful that you've come out to be with us today, this Memorial Day weekend of 2020. I pray that you've had a blessed week, and it was supposed to be raining today, and God's gave us a little bit of an opening here this morning that we can get our service in. All of you who are on Facebook, all of you who are on Facebook this morning, it's good to have you with us. We're thankful that you could come in or let us come in and be with you home and at your home, at your vehicle, wherever you're at today. We're thankful. Thankful for these men and women that are working today and helping us get our drive-in service brought together. Now, remember, as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, next week, we were supposed to meet at 10 o'clock this week, but the pastor's doings got it backed up. And so next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to try to meet at 10 o'clock, and that way we'll get past the heat a little bit. Now, the way that the talking about the preacher getting sunburned, the first Sunday I was out here, the left side of my head was a whole lot redder than the right side of my head. And so I had to go all that next week trying to even out the burn on my head. But God willing, beginning June, first Sunday in June, the 7th, at least for the first 2 weeks, we're going to offer kind of a either-or situation. And if we still see need in it, there's no time limit on that. We'll still be able to do that. But we've got everything measured out in there. We do encourage you to wear masks. We do encourage you to wear hand protection, all that. Whatever makes you feel more comfortable in this time, we want you to do that. And we're going to do our best to have some sanitization stations set up in the church. And so, but just bear with us as we try to figure out the where's and the how's and all that as we're moving toward an end. Thank God. To this time of disease and sickness. But as you're turning to Deuteronomy chapter 8, I want to remind you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things. And it's amazing to me how God lines things up, because the song that he almost, the second to the last song that we sang this morning, he talked about showers of freshings and how that now on thee we call to honor your word. Well, the last point in today's message comes from Psalms 85. And that is where the promise is, that will you not revive us again? Will you not bring refreshing to our salvation? But today I don't really have a title for this morning's message. It's just Memorial Day 2020. So if you want to stand, you're more than welcome to stand. But we're going to begin from Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll begin in verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God that brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the mind of mine hands hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he might establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And let's take a moment just to recognize all of our military men and women that have sacrificed their lives so that we can have the freedom that we have today, okay? Let's just pause for a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do come to you today, thankful, God, that you've allowed us to come together, and thankful that we have the religious freedom in America that we have. Thankful for the president as he stood this week defending our rights to worship and the necessity of fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters. God, I invite you, Holy Spirit, today to be in our midst. We know that you're not bound by a building or anything like that, but you said that you will be with us where two or more are gathered. And Lord, today we have gathered in your name to honor you, to remember you, to recognize who you are. I pray that you forgive me of my sins. I pray you give me the words to speak today. But as it is Memorial Day weekend, let us be reminded it's more than just picnics, vacation days, and grill outs. That this is about the men and women of America that loved America enough to sacrifice their life for our freedoms. Thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that we have men and women like that today. And God, again, I believe that America is a nation that you've appointed, a nation that you've blessed, and that you've given us good men and good women. And so, Lord, today we invite you again to let us honor them by honoring you. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And my reading this week, as we're considering today, is Memorial Day, and I think that the message this morning will kindly go with the idea of memorial, as the idea of memorial meaning to remember, to look back upon, to regard and hold as special. In my reading this week, I found that there are over 25 different accounts of the first Decoration Day, which became Memorial Day, but it was known 25 different places where it says it originated here or it originated there. According to the Richmond Times, It was June 3rd, 1861, that marks the first time a Civil War veteran grave was decorated. And there is also memorial events in 1860 down in Charleston, South Carolina, Savannah, Georgia, and Jackson, Mississippi. And then as the same time that we many look over at the cemetery in Gettysburg, or on July the 4th, 1864, in Bowlesburg, B-O-A-L-S-Burg, Pennsylvania, as the first time the town ladies gathered together to mark the graves of Civil War veterans. Or then in 1819 in Michigan, where they had it, they made it officially a state holiday. And then on May 30th, 1868, General James Garfield made a speech at Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., where 5,000 participants decorated the graves of 20,000 Union and Confederate soldiers. But it was in 1971 that Memorial Day became a national day of recognition and a celebration, our holiday to recognize all the enlisted men and women, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard, and others that sacrificed their life while serving our country in times of war and conflict. And not only do we celebrate them and remember them this weekend, we celebrate all those that have given their life as in the military, whether it be in peacetime or whether it be in wartime. But as I was reading this week and I was studying about Memorial Day, I come across one, I guess you'd call it folklore or something like that, and it kindly sums up the idea. In April 1864 in Columbus, Mississippi, an elderly mother finished decorating the graves of her two Confederate sons that died in the Civil War. Once she finished, the elderly mother walked over to two other graves in the back of the cemetery and began to decorate them with flowers and all that. And then somebody, one of her friends, looked at her and said, "What are you doing? Those mounds are the graves of two Union soldiers." And the elderly mother replied, "All I know is that somewhere in the North, a young mother and a young wife could be mourning in the same way that we do over our losses." And so there's the heart. We don't know all these people. We don't know all the ones that's died for this cause that we call America, so that we can have liberty, so that we can have freedom, so that we can create an uproar when they try to pin us down on our freedoms to go out and to shop and to be around our family and to be at worship together. And I look back in all of the different wars that America's been in, and I tried to write them down. Listen, the Civil War, we lost 620,000 Americans. World War II, 405,399. World War I, 116,516. The Vietnam War, 58,209. The Korean Wars, 36,516. The Revolutionary War, 25,000. The War of 1812, 20,000. The Mexican War, 13,283. The Iraqi-Afghanistan War, 6,226. The Spanish-American War, 2,446. The Gulf War, 258. Over 1.3 million individuals. And this is just in wartime. This doesn't mean covert missions and peacekeeping missions. These are almost 1.5 million people have died so that we could live in freedom today.
And that's what, when we gather to have these picnics, when we gather to have these celebrations with one another, that's what we're gathering to celebrate, is that every one of those numbers I just called off, from the Civil War, from the Revolutionary War all the way to the Gulf War, that was somebody that was born in America, that loved America, and loved it enough that they were willing to die for it. And that's what we do today. That's what we're doing this weekend, is that we're remembering all of those that died for it. But I asked myself this week, while we're not at a physical war right now, I believe you can look at America and you can tell and realize that we are at war for the soul and the future of American way. As we see things right now, what we know as America is beginning to fade away. When the Speaker of the House presents that we should have a vote at home bill where one representative can vote for 10, which completely goes against the First Amendment, the fifth section of it. That's not what America is meant to be. When a person that has not held a job since 2018 can bring home more than $700 a week, oh, I'm meddling, ain't I? That's not right. According to ComoNews.com, during the pandemic in New York, demands for abortions have increased, with people driving from Texas to New York to get an abortion. That's an essential service, not church, but abortion. You can cross state lines to kill a baby, but not to go worship with your brothers and sisters. A pointed and illegal push to confiscate our guns here in Virginia just before the, quote, unforeseen stay-at-home movement came. A country that condones and rewards sex outside of marriage by paying people that have children outside of marriage, but taxing those that choose to be married more. You say, Brian, what's your point? You're getting political. No, I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything that you shouldn't already know. And I'm not talking about Republican. I'm not talking about Democrat. If we ain't careful, they're the same. They're different wings on the same bird. But today, we've got to recognize that America, as a country, is falling away. And I'll be honest with you, when you study end times, America plays no major role in it. We need to seriously think, is this the America that our forefathers, and these great men and women from the Revolutionary War all the way to the Iraqi War, is this the America that they intended? Is this the America they fought for and died for? As most of you know, the book of Deuteronomy was written by Moses, and it's a record of the national, religious, and moral laws of Israel. It also contains what is a right and ethical lifestyle in the eyes of God. But here in chapter 8, I want you to notice that there seems to be a continuous theme beginning in verse 2 all the way through to verse 19. In verse 2 it says, "And thou shalt remember all the ways which the Lord thy God has led thee." In verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Verse 14, "Thine heart be lifted up and thou forget the Lord thy God." Verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." In verse 19, "If thou do at all, forget the Lord thy God." You see, there's a theme in this book, in this chapter. And the chapter is, don't forget God. And if I had to have a title for this message this morning, as we're remembering our troops, my challenge is to us as individuals here in Duffield, Virginia, but also to all of those that are listening from Arizona up to Michigan, down to Florida, let us not forget God in America. The first thing that we need to recognize here is that America was established and has been established by God. Look there in verses 14 through 16. Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wilderness, where therein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, and there was no water, and he brought forth water out of a flint rock, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna. You see, as Moses is describing the nation of Israel, he's saying to them, listen, the fact that we've escaped Israel, the fact that we're now a people and we're looking for the promised land, all of that didn't happen by chance. It didn't happen by luck. As a nation, he's saying, we were planned by God. As a nation, he's saying, we were planted by God. As a nation, he's saying, we have a purpose from God. And that's the same thing that we need to recognize today in America, that we just didn't happen up to be here at any time or any place, but God in his wisdom established us as a nation. The Bible makes it clear that not only America, but any nation that is, has been approved and appointed by God. Job chapter 12, verse 23, he makes nations great and he destroys them. He enlarges nations and leads them away. In Acts chapter 7, and he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth. You see, as a nation today, we have to recognize. And when I say as a nation, this idea of not forgetting God, it has to be every one of us as individuals. You see, just as every one of those individuals that lost their life is part of the foundation of America, we who stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are a part of the Christian foundation here in America. I want you to think about how amazing, really and truly, the fact that the American colonies were able to overcome England is a great miracle. Listen, in 1778, the Royal Army had 50,000 troops, 30,000 German mercenaries, the biggest and best navy, the more advanced weapons, the greatest of military minds and leaders. And on top of that, in the colonies, they had those spies that would go back and tell the people from England, the leaders from England, on what plans were and what was going on. Now, our Revolutionary Army at any given time never had any more than 20,000 men. Now, think about that. 80,000 men versus 20,000 men. But yet, and think about those 20,000 men, most of them were untrained military men. They were probably farmers or workers with minimal weapons. But praise God, with 20,000 men, the majority of them being committed Christians, God was able to establish the nation that we now live in and love. I want you to listen to what our forefathers have to say about God's hand being in the establishment of America. May the same wonder-working deity who long since delivered the Hebrews from their Egyptian oppressors and planted them in the promised land, whose providential agency has lately been conspicuous in the establishing of the United States of a nation, still continue to water them with dew of heaven and make the inhabitants of every denomination participate in the temporal and spiritual blessings of the people whose God is Jehovah. That was a letter written to a group of Hebrews in Savannah, Georgia, from the General George Washington. And all these quotes come from uschristianchurch.com or juicyecumenism.com. You see, our greatest president and the greatest military mind that we had had, he views America being established as a nation in the same fashion as the Hebrews being delivered out of Egypt and then becoming a nation. He goes on to say, and this is in the middle of the orders in 1779, in the middle of war, he writes this: whereas it becomes us humbly to approach the throne of the Almighty God with gratitude and praise for the wonders which His goodness has wrought in conducting our forefathers to this Western world, and above all that he has diffused the glorious light of the gospel, whereby through the merits of his gracious Redeemer we may become heirs to his eternal life. Even in the midst of war, he recognized the blessing of this nation called America, but he also saw it as temporal and that there's a more important home that we'll have, and that's in heaven. Praise God, our forefathers and our leaders recognized that as a nation, God had to establish us. And today, in 2020, if there's any hope of America continuing to be what it is, it ought to take us falling down and recognizing God is the one who has built us up. Number two, America, remember that we have been established on God's truth. That we've been built on God's truth. Look there in verse 11. It says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in keeping his commandments, his judgments, his statutes, which I command thee this day." Notice he uses the word commandments. This is like a military order from the commander to his subordinates as he lays out a plan and instructions. He uses the term judgments, which means legal proclamation, a code for what is right and what is wrong. His statutes, general traditions in the way that things should be accomplished. As the one that freed Israel from slavery and made it a great nation, God had the right to, and he has the right as well to America, to lay out to them what is right in God's eyes and expect for that nation to follow him in it. You see, it was Israel's provider, protector, guide, and Lord. And that's the same thing he's been for America today. Look, he says that you no longer fear him. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 5 through 6, he says, "Know in your heart that as a man disciplines his young son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him." You see the word fear there, it does carry an idea of being afraid, but it goes to more to the fact of being intimidated, to a place of respect, where you stand in amazement at the power and the goodness of a righteous God. You see, today in America, we no longer fear God. We're no longer intimidated by him. We're no longer amazed by his power. You see, we don't respect him. We don't recognize his goodness and his righteousness. How do we know this? Well, here's some examples. On the week of February the 11th, 2020, in the Virginia House of Delegates, they asked a pastor, Robert M. Grant, to open up in prayer. As he began to pray, he asked God for wisdom on the representatives. He asked God to forgive the wrong choices and sinful laws that had been passed. He was also asked that they, for conviction to fall upon those that had passed sinful laws and that. And he was mocked, he was cut off, and he was treated with disdain. Think about this. Used to, when you went into the courts, when you went into the courthouse, you saw the Ten Commandments. No longer is the Ten Commandments there. At the Democratic Convention, they rejected a point in 2012 to continue to support Israel and the quote-unquote God of Israel. See, we don't fear God. How do I know we don't fear God? Because we're passing laws that are completely against his ways. We're taking out any reminder of him in our schools, in our public situations, praise God. But God has founded this country on the truth of the gospel. If you don't believe me, listen to what our forefathers said. The right of the colonialist as Christians may best be understood by reading and carefully studying the institutes of the great lawgiver and head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and promulgated in the New Testament. That's Sam Adams. What did he say? He said the rights that we have as Americans is best viewed in the light of the New Testament. It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. That's George Washington. It cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great union was not founded by religionists, but by Christians. not by religions, but by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Patrick Henry. You see, our general, George Washington, recognized that America was to be established by God. George Washington, Sam Adams, and Patrick Henry recognized that it's by his statutes that we should be governed. And then we've got to be reminded today that America has been blessed by God. If you look there in verses 12 through 14, you'll read about how their stomachs get full as they sit in their nice houses and their flocks are multiplied and their silver is multiplied. And then in verses 17 and 18, it says that they begin to think it's by their own strength and by their own power. See, that's something that we as America have been falling into. We've become full-stomached with a comfortable roof over our head. We've been blessed with things, and our things are multiplying. And then we become satisfied, and we look around, and we pat ourselves on the back, and we'll say, look what I did. Look what I did. Can I remind you today that it is God and God alone that has blessed us? This is what's amazing. Even today, within the borders of America, we have everything that we would need to take care of ourselves as a nation, the resources. From the Revolutionary War to providing freedom, our military power and our strength, the industrial greatness after World War II, and now we're a key player and power in the entirety of the world scheme. I want you to think about this. The United States is 243 years old. That sounds old, but think about England. England is estimated to be 900 years old. Russia is estimated to be 1,150 years old. China is close to 3,000 years old. And yet, we who are a third of the youngest age, 250 some odd years, we're at the same level with all these others. How has that happened? How did we do it in a third or a quarter of the time? Why? Because God has blessed us and He has brought us to the table. We didn't put ourselves at the table. He raised us up. There's countries that's been around a long time other than us that still don't have the clout in the world that we have. You see, but now we've become satisfied. As it says over in Revelations, chapter 3, verse 17, as the Laodicean church, it says, for you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I have need of nothing, but not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, in America today, we see ourselves as rich. We don't need anything. We can do whatever. But in verse 17, I believe God can look at us like this, wretched. We are wretched. Deeply afflicted and inferior. We're pitiable, pathetic to a point of being pitied. Of little worth and little value of a beggar. Blind, being unable to see or to understand. And naked, that it's laid bare for all to see. And folks, I tell you what, when you hear other countries talk about us anymore, they don't talk with the respect that they had 20 years ago. Why? Why? Because as America, we're speaking out both sides of our mouth. You kill a woman who's pregnant and you can be charged for double homicide. But yet that woman can go kill her baby and not be charged with anything. You see? We say that we stand for godliness and righteousness, but we pass laws that go against nature and God's creation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's how we got lifted up to the table in less than 300 years. Because our forefathers honored God and put Him first. And He blessed it. Listen to what it says about the blessings of God. John Adams says, As the safety and prosperity of nations ultimately depends on the proclamation, protection, and blessing of the Almighty, and the national acknowledgement of this truth is not only indispensable duty, which the people owe Him. He's saying it is our duty to acknowledge God's blessing on our nation. It's our right, but it is our duty. Abraham Lincoln said this, whereas it is the duty of a nation as well as man to own their dependence upon the overruling power of God and to recognize the sublime truth announced in Holy Scriptures and proven by all history that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. Don't that make you proud to be an American when you hear the forefathers talk like that? It does me. Praise God, this is what we were founded on. These are the men and women that we look back to and we can say, they have stepped, God used them, and it's our duty to carry on what they've started, what God used with them. Lastly, we need to remember that America will be judged by God. Verses 19 and 20, it says, if you forget the Lord your God, and you turn after other gods and serve them and worship them, I tell you this day that as the Lord has done to other nations, you will perish. Matthew 25:32 makes it clear. All nations will be judged. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. Before Him will He gather all the nations, and He will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates his sheep from the goats. How will we be judged as the nations? I don't know, but I do know and I believe that as individuals we'll be judged for the way that we have lived as Americans, meaning that we will be judged on who and what we voted for. As Americans, we live in a place, in a country of representative government, meaning that others stand and act for us, especially through a delegated authority. We have given the senators and the congressmen and the president to act on our behalf, to make decisions for us. And so when we vote for people based on the money versus what they'll do for our nation, when we vote for them on how we'll be benefited instead of our nation following God's commands, we will stand before God. And if you align yourself with those that are about the pocketbook instead of the things of God, then we'll be judged for that. How can a man or a woman? I ain't gonna go there. I'm gonna shut up. I know y'all getting hot. Moses says clearly, he lays out, he says, the way you've seen other nations fall at your feet, you'll see the nation of Israel fall at the feet of others. You know what? We've been blessed as Americans. We've never been defeated in a war. We've never had war really fought on our own land except for a civil war. But folks, I am fearful that if something does not change, then we'll see this nation fall as other nations have fallen at the power of America. You say, Brian, it could never happen. Yeah, they said that about Rome as well. You see, if you look in the book of Habakkuk, you see a nation of Judah which has forgotten God. There's no justice. Sin is running rampant. Violence and corruption and greed are a part of everyday life, and God's tired of it. And you know what He does? He says, I'm going to use the Chaldeans to bring down Israel. The Chaldeans were known for their intellect, witchcraft, and astrology. He was going to bring a wicked nation to fall God's people. It could happen today. It could happen today. So today, as we're sitting here and we're thinking, we need to remember America was established by God. Remember, America is established on God's truth. Remember, America has been blessed by God. Remember, America will be judged by God. But praise God, the last thing today is that as America, we need to recognize that there still is hope in Christ Jesus. There's still hope. There's still a chance for America. There's a hope for a revival. Psalms 85 verses 1 through 7. As the song sang this morning, Lord, You were favorable to Your land. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of Your people. You recovered all their sins. You withdrew all Your wrath. You turned from Your anger. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away Your indignation towards us. Again, I say this. I believe we are fighting for the soul and the future of America. I believe the next 2 or 3 years is going to make it or break it. And either we'll turn back to God or either we'll fall away and experience His judgment. Romans chapter 1, verses 25 and 28, it says, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They worshiped and served the creation instead of the Creator, who is to be praised forever. And then in verse 28, it says, and because they did not think it worthwhile to acknowledge God, God delivered them over to a reprobate mind so that they could do that which is not right. Reprobate means a corrupt and unfit mind, void of being able to tell what is right and what is wrong, twisted and perverted without the knowledge of God. Many times we hear the verse from 2 Chronicles 7:14, which says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their land. Now that's not a promise to America. That's a promise to Israel, and we need to be reminded of that. But what we need to know is the same God that made that promise to Israel is the same God who's on the throne today. He's the same God who established America, that established Israel. He's the same God that gave them the law. He is the same God that we have said we would follow in His ways. And if we, who are His people today, His children, those that bear His name, if we'll fall down and come back to Him, praise God, I believe that He will send a revival. I want you to listen to what one of the greatest preachers of our time had to say in a sermon called A Miracle for America. It's Dr. Adrian Rogers. He says this, my passion as your pastor and preacher tonight is that there will be in America a God-blessed, devil-defying, sin-killing, soul-saving, old-fashioned revival. I believe with all my heart that revival is possible. I'm not a pessimist, and I'm not an optimist, but I'm a Bible realist, and I believe that it is time that we face facts. And the facts is this, that as a nation, for the most part, we have forgotten God. We have rejected His presence, defied His commandments, and forsaken His ways. But again, I say with a whole part and unapologetically that I'm proud to be an American. I'm thankful for God that He made me an American, and I believe that He has called us Christians today as the salt and the light of the world for us to be the preservative to America and for us to be the guiding light to America. And we have to determine in our heart, as we remember what these men and women died for, as we remember what we were established upon and who we were established by, that we will say, I'm not going to let America fall down on my watch, but I'm going to stand up for, I'm going to kneel down in prayer for, and I'm going to declare the power and the presence of Jesus everywhere that I can. And praise God, if we'll do that, I believe we'll see America be something great and mighty again in the world's scheme of things, in the world's plan. But I want to remind you today, it's us where it begins. We're told over in 1 Peter chapter 17 that judgment must begin at the house of God. Doing right and honoring God must begin in the house of God. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its taste, how can it be made salty? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled under feet. You are the light of the world. You're the guiding beacon, and a city that is set on the hill cannot be hid. I pray that you enjoy your weekend, that you celebrate the men and women that laid their lives down. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today can be that day. All you've got to do is message me on Facebook, touch on our page right now where the sermon is at, or give me a call. But God bless you, and praise God, Lord willing, in 2 more weeks we'll be inside to have service. Don't forget, next Sunday we're going to be meeting at 10 o'clock. God bless you, and I love you. And I'm going to ask, brother, will you close us out in a word of prayer this morning?
Well, let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, that we can stand here in freedom and worship you, Lord. And we thank you for those in attendance this morning. We thank you for all those churches across this country, Lord, that are taking this opportunity to worship you and give you your praise and honor that you deserve for your blessings upon us, Lord, and your protection. We ask now, Lord, that a special blessing upon those families who have lost loved ones because they give the ultimate sacrifice in battle, Lord, that you would just touch them in a special way today as they remember those loved ones. And again, we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ. And in His name we do pray. Amen.